Welcome to The Synopsis. In this series, we bring you books in brief, short summaries of the greatest books of our time that you've always wanted to read. In the next few minutes, we'll discuss what makes these books so influential.
In today's day and age, all one has to do is scroll through their social media feeds to be blinded by talk of financial independence or financial freedom. But when did this idea become so desirable? Hi everyone, Ahalya here, and right now I'm giving you a summary of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It's one of the most well-known self-help books of the last two decades. Released in 1997, Robert Kiyosaki and Sharon Lecter's book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, emphasizes the importance of financial independence and the importance of creating personal wealth by investing in assets and owning businesses. So let's take a quick look at the main points Kiyosaki makes in this book. The first one is a conundrum that I think all of us struggle with at some point in our lives. Exit the rat race and grow wealthy. Think about it. What's the most common advice for youngsters? Go to school, study hard, get a job. Kiyosaki and Lecter say this is outdated advice based in our parents' past. Decades ago, the average person aspired to a stable job after college, worked for the same company for 25 or 30 years, and retired with a pension. Today, an individual can work hard, study in a really great college, and bag a high-paying job without actually achieving financial independence. Eye-opening, isn't it? The authors claim that this is because of the rat race. Most people around the world follow this plan because they've become prisoners of expectations. We may avoid poverty using this route, but we're not becoming wealthy either. So seek to exit the rat race and grow wealthy quicker than you ever imagined. The next fact that Kiyosaki and Lecter touch upon is that financial ignorance can lead to bad money decisions. You see, money seems to draw two main types of emotional responses, greed and fear. Kiyosaki and Lecter claim that people inexperienced in managing finances are more given to emotional decisions regarding money. For instance, if you just received a good raise at work, you would be better off investing that extra income in stocks or bonds. Financially ignorant people tend to go with their emotions. The fear of losing money is so strong in such people that it doesn't allow them to invest that extra income due to perceived risks, even though such investments tend to create wealth in the long term. Greed makes people spend the extra income on upgrading lifestyles, ignoring the reality that such upgrades also lead to larger bills and EMIs, which can eat up that big raise. So we must aim to absorb financial knowledge, things like investments, risk, and debt, which help make rational decisions with all of your hard-earned money. Taking from that concept of financial knowledge is the next idea of financial intelligence. And Kiyosaki and Lecter say that everyone requires financial intelligence. Most of us were not taught subjects like saving or investing in our childhood. So we grew up clueless about crucial concepts like compound interest and are intimidated by matters like investments and loans. In fact, many educated countries end up with incredible amounts of national debt because many politicians have little financial intelligence. The authors add that ordinary people can be surprisingly bad with money, and that society has not equipped people with sound financial knowledge. In the US, approximately 50% of the workforce does not have any pension. Of the ones that do have pension, 75 to 80% have ineffective pensions. So then financial knowledge is left to individual choice, and a choice that one must make. Now, while all of these are broad ideas, Kiyosaki and Lecter do talk about the first step, which is awareness. Having awareness of your finances is the first step. When it comes to creating wealth in our life, starting early is always better. If you begin at age 20, you're much more likely to become rich than someone who begins at 30 or 40. Step one is honestly reviewing your current financial status and setting goals. What is your current income and what do you expect as future income? What expenses can you sustain without hurting your finances? The point is setting realistic financial goals. Step two is financial intelligence. The authors make a great point here. Work for what you learn, not what you earn. For instance, if you're afraid of rejection, try a stint with a network marketing company. The pay might be low, but you learn sales skills and build self-confidence, both of which are extremely useful. Enrolling in classes and seminars, reading books, networking with experts, these things improve your chances of becoming wealthy in the long term. And then the authors arrive at an idea that tends to make a lot of us very uncomfortable, an appetite for risk. The authors say that the biggest change you may need to make is learning to take risks. Financially successful people are successful because they manage risks but are not afraid of taking those risks. Taking risks means not always being safe with your money, like investing money in stocks or bonds, not just leaving it in a savings account. While they are considered riskier than bank accounts, they do have the chance of generating much more wealth. Of course, the higher the returns, the higher the risk. There's always a chance you could lose your investment in stocks, but no risk, no reward. Taking bigger chances and handling risks is necessary in order to start generating a bigger income. What other qualities do we need to arm ourselves in the path to growing personally wealthy? Well, patience and persistence. The road to wealth is a patient one, so we must find ways to stay motivated despite setbacks. The authors recommend creating a list of wants and don't wants. For instance, I don't want to end up like my poor uncle, or I want to be debt-free in 3 years. Another effective method is spending money on yourself before paying bills. It might seem counterintuitive at first, but you'll see how much extra money you need to make every month to get where you want, buying the things you like and paying your bills without worry. The extra pressure of paying our bills afterward will inspire us to find creative ways of making enough money. It also improves self-discipline, an important trait when it comes to financial success. And now that they've spoken to us about qualities we need, they also talk about the qualities we're better off without. Laziness and arrogance, because they are dangerous. The authors say that laziness and arrogance are dangerous for wealth creation. Laziness does not just mean inactivity. It also means avoiding the things that need to be done. Arrogance is another concern. In the realm of finance, arrogance can be defined as ignorance plus ego. For instance, a few stockbrokers will feed your ego to get you to buy more shares so that they can maximize their commission. They boost an investor's ego with the positives of an investment while not disclosing the negatives. The authors explain that even experienced investors must be cautious of such slip-ups. Another interesting and valuable thought that Kiyosaki and Lecter introduced to us is this: invest in what pays you. Assets create wealth. Assets are things that produce income, appreciate over time, and which can be sold at any moment. So businesses, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, real estate, all of those generate income. Your goal should be to push your income as high above your expenses as possible, and then invest the excess income into assets. But many investors get confused between assets and liabilities, like a house. A house is often considered an asset, but it's also said that a house is one of the biggest liabilities a person can have. Purchasing a house usually means working most of our lives to pay off a 25 or 30 year home loan and some more money in property taxes. Kiyosaki and Lecter claim that this works against us in two ways. Firstly, you have a massive expense on your monthly income for several years, which they call a telltale sign of a liability. And those hundreds of payments can be invested in potentially more lucrative assets like stocks or real estate that can be rented out. So invest only in assets that put money in your pocket. So the thing about Kiyosaki and Lecter in Rich Dad Poor Dad is that they're incredibly witty. One such example is this: salaries pay bills, businesses create wealth. Most people consider a profession and a business the same thing, work or employment, but they're not. Your job has a specific designation and where you work 9 to 5 every day so you can pay your bills. A business is something you invest time and money in to enrich your assets. According to the authors, to create wealth, one must build a business while working in a profession. A chef who has studied at a culinary arts school and is good at her job earns enough to pay rent and feed the family, but she won't grow wealthy, so she invests in a business, say real estate. Any extra income she earns, she invests every month towards purchasing income-producing assets, like apartments that can be rented out. When your assets and not your profession become your main income source, that is the sign of true financial independence. And finally, I wish they had taught us this in school, but anyway, we've got Kiyosaki and Lecter to help us out. Learn about taxes and minimize your taxes. We all hate taxes because they reduce our personal wealth, but many people don't want to make the effort to find out how they can minimize the taxes they pay. Learn thoroughly how the tax system works, and you may be able to legally reduce how much of your money the government takes from you. With all of these succinct and interesting insights at hand, I think all of us are well equipped to take our first steps towards financial independence or freedom. And that is on Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki and Sharon Lecter on The Synopsis with me, Ahalya.
We
We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Synopsis, powered by Timber Media.